Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and they made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So, what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he bent down and wrote on the ground. In response, they went away, one by one, beginning with the elders. And so he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." The Gospel of the Lord. She had been caught in the act. The temple police dragged her out onto Solomon's porch with a curious crowd looking on. Her husband stood nearby smiling. He would be glad to be finally rid of her. She was an embarrassment. The crowd pressed in as the Pharisees swept past in a flurry of black and white robes. They encircled the woman and Jesus like a pack of jackals. There was no escape. Whatever life she had was over. Whatever friends she had known were at the back of the mob. She had heard enough conversation to know that she was about to be made an example. She looked around at the crowd and saw some of her past and present lovers with rocks in their hands. "Ah, religion," she thought. No God could save her from these good religious people. She wanted to laugh and cry at the same time. At least the running was over. Some of us here know what it is like to have our irresponsibility, catch up with us. Some of us know what it is to flirt with disaster once too often, to live life on the edge, cheating on tests, cheating on loved ones, cutting corners on promises, driving drunk, running up outlandish credit card debts, where recklessness has whispered to us, "No one will ever know. And everybody does it. And then one day we stand alone in front of a school disciplinary board, a judge's bench, or a hurt and angry family. We stand there waiting for the axe to fall, with nobody to blame but ourselves for our foolish choices. The authorities were gloating. This woman was only the bait. They were after Jesus. And he would not wiggle out of this one. Once and for all, he would have to declare himself. Either he was an orthodox teacher or a corrupter of people's morals. No more this cheap grace stuff. People need to know the rules. Irresponsibility has its price. Jesus needed to be brought in line with the official position on sin. And we know where the Pharisees are coming from, don't we? We're all guilty of moralism at one time or another. We're not always interested in somebody's improving their life as we are interested in seeing them get what we think is coming to them. We all like to prove that we're right, or at least we're not as bad as the people who live next door. Moralism likes to use the Bible and church law to mark out neat boundaries between insiders and outsiders. Moralism makes spiritual bounty hunters of people. It digs up dirt, as Pope Francis likes to say. It likes to dig up the ashes. Moralism gossips. It is the mortal enemy of grace. The generosity of God so freely poured out on us. Jesus has redeemed us from many things, but especially he has redeemed us from the sin of moralism. In Jesus, God has gone as far as God can go in keeping us near him, with him. Jesus, we see him today. Jesus stands inside the circle with that woman, just as he stands inside the circle with everybody here who's done something that you wouldn't want anybody to know about. And he does not point an accusing finger. Rather, his obedience to God and his loving faithfulness bring to light what our careless, inconsiderate acts have done to us and to other people. Woman, is there no one here to condemn you? No one. No one, sir. There's just us. Well, I don't condemn you either. Jesus gives us breathing room. He gives us room to choose a different way. Go now and avoid this sin in the future. Jesus takes our despair and he hands us hope. He takes our past and he hands us a new future. And one more thing, and this is probably the most important of all. Jesus gives us the freedom to drop our judgment stones. Only the one who has never sinned can throw the first stone. Leave your guns at the door. If we let ourselves be gathered here, then we leave our judgments outside. Jesus relieves us from at least 1 hour during the week, leaves us to escape our 24-hour-a-day self-imposed jury duty. What we do here by our presence is we encourage one another, and we leave the judging to God. And when we come to Holy Communion, we shall be glad for it, because in exchange for the stones, Jesus gives us bread. You can't hold them both at the same time. The bread of reconciliation. Let's profess our faith.